Take your Bibles, please, this morning. Turn with me to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Deuteronomy, chapter 33, for the message this morning. It is good to see Woody. God bless you, buddy. Pray for you all the time. Good to see you here. You look good. Yeah, you know that, though, don't you? Huh? Yes, indeed. And good to have Gwen back with us. Bless your heart, Gwen. We've been praying so hard for you as well. And good to see you back. All right, Deuteronomy 33. I'd like to begin reading in verse 26 and read down to the end of the chapter. So you follow along in the Bible as I read. And the 29th verse will be the text verse this morning. And let's begin reading in verse 26, though. Notice here, it says, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." I preached a sermon on that several years ago. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Isn't that good to know? No matter how far down you think you are, underneath are God's everlasting arms to hold you up. You see, he'll not put more on you than what you can stand, what you can bear. That's what he says. That's what he's promised. All right, so read on. It says, "And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew." Now here's my text verse. He says, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord. The shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. And thou shalt tread upon their high places." All right, now look back at the first part of that verse. It says, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord." Notice the wording of that. We're happy because of the Lord. Happy because of the Lord. Now, I want to use this little intro into this verse and speak to you this morning, a message that I'm going to entitle, "Looking for Happiness." Looking for happiness. You know, the whole world's looking for happiness. Everybody wants to be happy. Anybody in here not want to be happy? Raise your hand. No, everybody wants to be happy. Of course you do. We all want to be happy. So let's pray, and then I want to speak to you on looking for happiness. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. Our Father, how we thank you so much for your goodness. And Lord, I pray that you will bless this morning and speak to our hearts as we look at this little verse of Scripture. What a great truth that you presented to your people Israel. And Lord, I pray that you will open our understanding this morning and help us to see how we can be happy in this old, wicked, sinful world in which we live. And Lord, there's so much unhappiness in the world today, but yet people are still looking for happiness. May we learn this morning where happiness can be found. And then, Lord, may we make up our minds that we're going to do what we need to do, and we're going to obey God. And Lord, you will then give us happiness as we go through this life. That's not to say we'll not have any trials or not have any troubles. We certainly will. Lord, that's just the nature of sin that lies within each one of us. But yet, Lord, we can be happy in the midst of the storm. And so I pray that you will bless, open our understanding, fill me with your Spirit, Lord, and help me as I speak. And Lord, you know my heart. I want to be a blessing this morning. And so I pray you will use me to be a blessing. And Lord, speak to every heart. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, it is commonly said that we often give the least thought about our greatest blessings. We give the least thought about our greatest blessings. Often we take our richest blessings from God for granted and never pause to think about them as long as we keep enjoying them. See, as long as we're being blessed, we take them for granted. We don't stop and think about them as long as we're enjoying them. Take your health, for example. One hardly thinks about his health when he is healthy. Right? You don't think about your health when you're healthy. I sit back here every Sunday and look over the crowd, and I see folks come in, and you can just see burdens on their hearts. And usually they've got a little gray up on top or a lot of skin up on top. Yeah, they got a few years on them. And they've got some things that, bring troubles to their soul. And I watch these young people. Thank God for all the young people. And they just don't think about their health. They just enjoy their health. And they got all that life and energy. They don't think about it. They take it for granted. And it's just the way we are. Now, to be sure, we enjoy our health when we have it, but we don't sit around and dwell on it when we have it. And it is only when pain shows up one day, or when we have someone close to us, or maybe we ourselves get sick, that we are awakened to that wonderful gift that God has granted to us for all these years. Now, as with our health, I think it is also true with happiness. A happy person seldom thinks of how happy he is. They just don't think about it. Now, others may see their happiness and may even be a little envious of their happiness. For you see, it's hard to live in the clouds and the storm all the time when you can just look across to the next hill and see the sun shining all the time. But a person who is happy has an almost childlike unconsciousness in its enjoyment. And it is only when happiness is gone that we appreciate the priceless gift that we once held in our hands. I read the other day, a couple of weeks ago now, I read in one of the newspapers that I read online. And I try to keep up with what's going on in the world. And so rather than pay for newspapers, I just look them up online and read what they say. And the other day, I was reading one of the papers, and they were talking about a national poll that was taken. They just randomly selected some people and asked them if they are truly happy. And I was amazed, really, when I read the numbers. I couldn't remember exactly what they were as I was preparing the message Friday. But I went back to look, and I couldn't find. They had evidently taken the link down. But I was surprised to find out that it was in the majority. The majority of people that they polled said, yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy with my life. Because the truth of the matter is, you don't meet a whole lot of happy people these days. Have you noticed that? There's not a whole lot of happiness going around. I think that all this talk about happiness that we hear about today is proof of all the unhappiness that abounds. Folks talk about what they don't have. And I think that in heaven, everybody is happy. And the question of happiness is never ever brought up in heaven. You know, you're never going to see somebody knock on your door in heaven and say, hey, we're taking a poll. Are you happy? No, everybody in heaven is happy. Everybody. I also think that with all the unrest in our world today, and with the economy like it is, and all the corruption that we see abounding everywhere, with the fact that we are living much longer lives now, and subsequently, eventually, we're all going to have to deal with old age, aches, and pains. I think that has taken a toll on all of us. And for way too many people, happiness seems like just a distant dream. Now, think with me. One of the strange contradictions of our faith is that the gospel is a powerful factor in creating happiness. And yet, the central figure of the gospel was, as the Bible describes him, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That's ironic, is it not? Because one man had to bear such suffering and sorrow just so you and I could be happy. But Jesus did that for us. At the center of everything we believe is a Savior who endured agony and suffering and who gave his life on Calvary's cross just so you and I could find happiness. We would not know true happiness today had it not been had there not been a Savior agonizing in prayer in Gethsemane's garden until great drops of blood broke out across his brow. We would not know happiness today had there not been an old rugged cross on which our Savior was nailed and where naked and bleeding and enduring more pain and agony than I could describe for you, he gave his life's blood to pay the penalty for our sin. And yet it is out of that gospel where our happiness is found. One of the powerful influences in history, paving the way for man's happiness without doubt, has been the Christian faith. I don't know how many times I've seen folks walk down the aisle of the church, whether it's here or anywhere else. And I'll extend an invitation, ask folks to come and receive Christ. And down the aisle, they'll come, be dealt with at the altar. And I have never seen anybody stand up from the altar and be disappointed in the decision they just made. I've never had anybody say, "I wish I had never done that." No, the gospel brings happiness. There's nothing like having your sins forgiven. Now, I want to point out a few things about the gospel that have helped to make those who believe that gospel a little happier. Now, folks, you do realize that when I use the term gospel, what I'm speaking of is not just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but I'm talking about this book right here, Genesis to Revelation. I've taught our church family this, but several years ago, 100 years ago about, somebody wrote in a book that the word gospel means good news. Now, how many of you have heard that? Gospel means good news. All right, look at me. The gospel is good news, but that term gospel does not mean good news. Now, it is good news, but it does not mean good news. One guy wrote that in a book, and everybody and his dog jumped on it, and now everybody knows it. And you hear the word gospel, good news. No, the gospel is good news, but that word gospel does not mean good news. You say, "Well then, Pastor, what does it mean?" Look at the word, gospel, God's word. Gos is God, spell is word. This right here is the gospel. From Genesis to Revelation, I could take this book and in any one of its of the books of the 66 that make up this Bible, I could show you the gospel. It's in every one of them. I could show you Jesus. I could show you that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. It's all in the gospel. And it's all the gospel. So what I want to do this morning is I want to point out a few things about that gospel. that have helped to make those who believe that gospel a little happier. I want to show you this morning that faith in Jesus Christ is really what the entire globe is looking for today. Everybody's looking for happiness, but they're looking in the wrong places. They're looking to the wrong source. And the gospel is right here, and happiness is right here with it. Let me give you three things. First of all, I want you to realize, number one, that happiness is only gained as a byproduct. Happiness is only gained as a byproduct. I mean, folks, listen, if a person is just looking for happiness and that is the goal of his life, he will spend his whole life looking for it and not finding it. If happiness is your goal, if somebody says, my goal in life is to be happy, I am determined at every cost to be happy in life. Well, chances are that person is going to lead a miserable life. Because it is when we are not seeking happiness that we find it. It's when we're not seeking happiness that we find it. It is when we have higher aspirations than just our own personal emotional well-being that we ultimately find true happiness. You say, well, Pastor, what could be more important than being happy in life? And the answer is for us to be right with God. That's more important. You see, folks, the spiritual is more important than the emotional. And the guy who says, well, I'm just trying to find some way to be happy in life. You're aiming too low. You're aiming too low. The answer for us is to be right with God. And if you are just all consumed with finding happiness, you'll find it vanish like the wind. I mean, forget about being happy and let yourself be consumed with knowing God. And happiness will be the byproduct of you seeking the Lord. Now, can I give you a Bible verse for this? The Bible verse is Proverbs 29:18. And all of you know this verse. You say, well, I don't think I know that. Yeah, you do. The verse says, where there is no vision, the people, what? See, you know that verse. But we stop right there. Read the rest of the verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. What's the law? Right here, the Word of God. And right here, folks, in this Bible, is where you're going to find happiness. Because you see, you will read this Bible, and this Bible will teach you God. It will teach you who God is. It will teach you all about Him and His Son and His Spirit and His salvation and His heaven and His promises. It's all right here in the book. And when you read this book, you will find happiness as a byproduct of knowing God. I want to show you that the gospel deals with happiness in this light. The Bible deals with happiness in this life. Folks, listen, I've read this Bible from cover to cover. I've read it from Genesis to Malachi and Matthew to Revelation many times. I have studied it. I have preached it now for over 40 years. And I've studied it and studied it and studied it. And I can tell you right now that never have I found any place in the Bible that the chief end of man is to be happy. I've never found that in the Bible. And yet that is exactly what everybody is looking for. Everybody just wants to be happy. But the gospel, the Bible, never says be happy. You say, well then, Pastor, why doesn't it say that? Because happiness is a byproduct. It is not the main thing. Folks, the main thing is for you and I to know God. And when we know the God of heaven, then happiness follows that. Now, you say, well, that was an Old Testament verse. All right, I knew you'd say that. So let me give you a New Testament verse. Go over to Matthew chapter 6. Everybody just turn over there for a minute. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. This is the Sermon on the Mount. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 33. He says, but seek ye, what's the next word? First. What's first mean? First, not second, right? All right, but seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Everything else will be added unto you, including happiness. But what we need to do is seek the Lord first. I mean, the gospel says that we are to aim higher than happiness. That we are to set our sights on God. That we're to aim high. Aim at the highest. And when we do, when our goal is to know the God of heaven, when our goal in life is not to be happy, if you're striving to be happy, you'll never find it. But if your goal is to know God, then all these other things will be added unto you. Peace. Happiness, joy. It'll all come as a result of knowing God. Seek to know the way of God, and happiness will be its byproduct. There are two phrases used by the Holy Spirit in the Bible. The Lord Jesus used these two phrases all the time. And I think sometimes we confuse them. We read them and we think they're synonymous, and they're not synonymous. In the Bible, the phrase, kingdom of heaven. And then the phrase, kingdom of God. And we interchange them in our minds. We think they're all, that they're saying the same thing. They are not. There is a difference between them. That's why Jesus used both words. The kingdom of heaven is always a place. It's always a place. How many of you believe in heaven? Raise your hand. Sure, I do too. That's a place. I told you about John Rice years ago, wrote a book about heaven. And he sent it to Zondervan. Zondervan sent it back, the manuscript back, and said, you've capitalized heaven every time you use it in this book. And we only, in the English language, you only capitalize real places. John Rice wrote him back a letter and said, forget it. I'll get somebody else to publish the book. Heaven is a real place. The kingdom of heaven, that's always a place. But the kingdom of God is always God's way of doing things. And that's what Jesus tells us to pursue in Matthew 6. The kingdom of God. That, in other words, the gospel tells us to seek the way of God as God does things. The admonition is to seek to live life God's way. You say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? How do I live life God's way? You find it right here in this book. That's how you do it. You find God's way right here in the Bible. And when you read the Bible and you learn God's way and then start living God's way, happiness will just be there. It will be right there with you. It's like a sweet fragrance wafting through the air. And you don't know where it's coming from, but you enjoy it. You enjoy it. A couple of years ago, We had these great big green things out in front of our house, and they had grown completely out of control. And Karen decided she wanted them gone. And so I said, well, if you want to get rid of them, we'll get rid of them. She said, I do. I want them all gone. I want you to take all of them out. And then I'm going to plant some flowers and we'll get some small shrubs and put those around and get the mulch, you know, and do the whole work thing. Yeah, that's what I got stuck with. That's what I got out of it. So we got those, we dug those trees out and then went to the nursery, started looking around, and she got these little bushes that turn red in the fall. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know what the names of any of them are, but little bushes. And she got like five or six of those and put them across the front of the where the window is. And on either side of the house, she got this bush, this little shrub thing that grows. And then on the other side, well, the one on the other side, I guess it was too much sun because it never would live. We went and bought another one, stuck it in the ground, watered it. And it still didn't live. But the other one on the far end of the house, it made it. Now it's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's you know, this big around, just perfectly shaped. And every spring, that thing blossoms. And it only lasts for about 10 days, 2 weeks max. And it smells wonderful. I stepped out of the house one morning, first year after we planted those things. I stepped out of the house and this aroma just hit my nose. And I said, wow, what is that? I turned around to look, and the only thing I could see was that bush over there. So I walked over to it. I got my nose down close to it, and I went and smelled, and oh, did it smell good. Of course, it started me sneezing, and I sneezed for about 2 straight hours, but it smelled so good. Now, I was not looking for that when I went out the door. I went out the door to get in the car to come to the office. But when I walked out, here came that aroma. Oh, it smelled so good. And you see, in the process of going about the Christian life, living for God, happiness will be like the aroma that comes off of that tree. It'll just be there and you'll realize it. And you'll say, wow, what a benefit to knowing God. There's nothing like it. It's like the springing of water when you're not looking for water. It's like the sunbeams breaking through a horrible storm. I mean, happiness will just come. But then secondly, I want you to see that happiness is found in life's simplest things. It's found in the simplest things. And by the way, these things that I'm going to describe for you, these are gifts from God to us. These are gifts from God to us. And happiness is found in these simple little things. We have the idea today that happiness is found in wealth or in fortune or in fame, but it's not, folks. It's not. I mean, some of the most miserable people in the world are those who have these things. If you don't believe it, just pay attention to the Hollywood crowd. I mean, there's not a more miserable bunch of people in the world. They have the fame, they have the money, but yet they're the most miserable people in the world. They can't stay married, divorced umpteen times. I mean, they just can't be happy. Always looking for the next thrill to sustain them. It's not in these things that make a person happy. You say, well, Pastor, if it's not material things, if it's not cars and money and fame and fortune, what is it that makes a person happy? Listen, it's health. It's family. It's friendships. It's having people who love you unconditionally. 2 Sundays ago, we went home after church, and everybody was waiting. Karen was fixing dinner, And everybody was sitting around in the family room. We were all laughing and talking. The kids were all playing. And Karen said, "Okay, come and get it." So everybody stood up, started in. And I was sitting in my chair. And when everybody got up, Braden got up, looked it towards the kitchen, but then he stopped and he turned around. It's my six-year-old grandson, Joshua's little boy. And he came around and he crawled up on the chair. He got in my lap, on my lap. He wrapped both arms around me. He got every part of him on me he could get. And he said these words. He said, "Papa, I got to tell you, something's going to make you sad." And I thought, "Oh my goodness, what? You getting married or what? What?" He said, "Papa, I got to tell you, something's going to make you sad. You're not going to like it." Well, I'm all ears. I said, "Well, what is it, bud?" He said, "In 2 weeks, I got to go with Mommy to Colorado. And I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks, and you're not going to get to see me for 2 weeks. And I know you're going to miss me." I mean, he rolled those old brown eyes over at me, and he was sincere. He was as honest as he could be. And he said, "I know you're going to miss me." And I said, "Well, Braden, you can call me on the phone." He said, "Yeah, Papa, that's a good idea." And when I told him he could call me on the phone, he was fine. He said, "Okay." And off my lap he went in and sat down at the table ready to eat. Well, I'm sitting there. I mean, I'm so filled with emotion, I'm about to pop. I couldn't hardly stand it. And I thought, you know, hey, this is it. This is it right here. Let me tell you something, dear friend. That is where human happiness is found. It is found in unconditional love. Someone loves you unconditionally regardless. Happiness comes in the blessings that are the most simplest. It's not found in the things that are the rarest. Most of us will never have money. We'll never have fame. But we can find happiness because God provides in the blessings that He has scattered everywhere. Let me tell you something, folks. I love every one of you that attend this church, whether you're a member or not a member. I thank God for you, and I pray for you collectively every day, many times a day. And there's a bunch of you that I pray for you individually every day because I know what you're dealing with. And if I can help you, I will. But if I'm talking to you out in the hallway or here in the service, in the aisles, and one of my grandchildren comes up and grabs me around the leg, you're going to have to wait a minute. Now, I don't mean anything personally by that, but you're just going to have to wait a minute. And you're going to have to let me love on my grandbaby a little bit before I'll give you back the attention that you had. You see, there's nothing that thrills my soul any more than those precious little lives. And if we could just learn to prioritize our lives and focus on the simple things in God, in family, in church, in friendships, in daily devotions, in daily prayer, in faithfulness, in service. If these things are our focus, happiness will be there. The byproduct of enjoying the simple little things that God has given us. And then number three, quickly, and I must hurry. Number three, I want you to see that happiness is found in great love and through much service. Great love and through much service. Now, folks, it's important in your search for happiness that you have both of these together. Great love and much service. You see, love without service is just empty, hollow sentiment. Love without service is just mush. It's shallow. It doesn't fool anybody. I mean, you can see through that 4 miles away. It's just living a dreamer's life. It's shallow. And folks see through the shallowness of that so easily that it won't fool anyone. Love without service. But then service without love is always exhausting. I mean, it's always exhausting. Because you're doing and doing and doing, but you don't like what you're doing. I had a preacher friend of mine call me on Friday. He wants me to come and preach for him in the fall on a Monday and Tuesday. And he's now pastoring a church, but for several years he was an assistant pastor, and I preached in the church when he was an assistant pastor. And now he has his own church and wants me to come preach for him. So we were talking, and I asked him, I said, "Well, how's Pastor so-and-so doing, the pastor where he was previous?" And he said, "Oh, didn't you hear?" And I said, "No." He said, "He walked out." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, he went in one Sunday morning, first Sunday of April, walked up in front of everybody and said, 'I'm resigning,' and he left. Just walked right out. Didn't preach that morning or nothing. Just said, 'I'm resigning, I'm done,' and he walked out." And I said, "Well, good grief. Why? Why would he do that?" And he said, "Norris, I told him several times through the years. I told him that his problem is he doesn't love people. And the ministry for him is just labor. I mean, it's just work. You know, I don't see the ministry as work. Do you all? I really don't. Maybe I shouldn't ask y'all that. I mean..." But I don't see it as work. I enjoy it. I mean, Saturday night, sometimes I have trouble going to sleep because I know that Sunday morning we're all going to be here and I get to preach. I get excited about it. And I said to my friend who called, I said, "Well, you know, if you don't love your church family, you're going to burn out real quick." And I said, "Here it is, Mike." I said, "Here it is. If you don't like the smell of sheep, then you shouldn't be a shepherd." And Mike says, wait a minute, what was that again? And I could hear him reaching for a pencil. "What was that again?" I said, "If you don't like the smell of sheep, don't be a shepherd." Because boy, sheep can stink. They really can. You see, folks, we got to have both elements if you want to be happy. You got to have a loving heart and you got to work. You got to serve others. And if you don't have that, it's no wonder you're not happy in the Lord. Serving. You see, you'll never be happier than when you are serving those you love. Service without love is always so exhausting, but happiness comes when we have great love and when we serve those we love. But you must begin with a loving heart. And then your service will be greatly blessed of God. Now, folks, listen, in my opinion, this defines and separates true Bible Christianity from everything else. I believe that with every fiber of my being. If someone were to ask me, "Pastor, what is Christianity? I mean, what is real, living, and experienced Christianity?" My answer to them would be, it is great love and much service. For Christianity is more than just love. It's love in action. It's love militant. It is love going out to serve. And Christianity is more than just service. It is service that is rooted in the love of Christ. And that is a description and a definition of Christianity. It is Christ known. It is Christ loved. It is Christ served. That's Christianity, folks. And when we know Him and love Him and when we're serving Him, we will discover happiness in this world. And that's why a lot of folks aren't happy, because they're not serving. They're not serving. You won't find happiness in things. It's not found in things. It's found in a person. You got to know Christ. In order to know Christ, you got to read the Bible. You won't find happiness in hoarding the riches of this world. It's only found as a byproduct of a right relationship with God. And folks, the only way to have a right relationship with God is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have little doubt, but there are many people in this room this morning, and you're looking for happiness. No doubt about it. I mean, you're looking for happiness. I've had so many people through the years tell me that no matter how hard they try, they just can't find happiness. It just always seems to be one step ahead of them. My dear friend, would you realize that you're never going to find it looking for it? You have got to put Christ first. And you say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, let me give you a couple of suggestions and I'll be done. Number one, look at me. Join the church. Join the church. I mean, you've been coming here for a long time. Well, I'm just real careful. Well, listen, how many times do you have to hear me preach before you realize I'm not a heretic? Huh? Join the church. What's holding you back? I tell you what's holding you back. Here's what it is. Remember now, two things. What is it? Much what? What was the first one? Much love. What's the second one? Much service. Here's why you don't join. Watch. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm trying to get you to see the truth. You're sitting back here, not a member. And so in your mind, you're on the sideline. Oh, you're here. You're coming. You're coming. But there's no responsibility. There's no duty. There's no guilt. See, you sit back over here on the sideline, and if somebody says, I'm not a member yet. See, I haven't joined yet. And so, why haven't you joined? Because if you join and you get in, you know you're going to have to do something.
Yeah, that's it.
Uh-huh. You know, there are people all over Carroll County this morning who used to come to church here and used to be members here, but they don't come here anymore because they wouldn't do anything. And it becomes a whole lot easier to go sit somewhere else where you don't have to be reminded that you're not serving. You understand that? You don't have to be, go somewhere else, you won't be reminded of it. Mm-hmm. Hey, I was born at night, but not last night. And I'm starting to figure out some things about how people act and why they do what they do. You want to be happy? Join the church. Get busy. Find something to do. Sing in the choir. I've noticed sitting right here watching you while the choir's singing, you're singing along with the choir. Why don't you get up here and sing with the choir? Serve, serve, serve. Love and serve. Love and serve. You got to have both. You got to have both. You'll find through a loving heart and a serving heart the happiness that you're looking for. You'll find it. And I'm begging you to do so this morning.